Okay? And the reverse is true too. An object at rest will remain at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. That's Newton's first law, also known as the law of inertia. Many of us know this law, maybe not the textbook definition, but from experience. Sometimes when you're stopped, when you're at rest, it takes a lot to get you going. Ever been sitting on the couch and think, man, there are all kinds of things I could be doing right now that would probably be more valuable than sitting here watching television. But man, it's hard to get up. It's easy for us to sit back in our comfort zones, and it can take quite a force to get us moving when we're there. Jesus' resurrection was the force that launched the disciples out into mission, into the world. And Jesus' resurrection, if we have experienced it, and it's what we celebrated a few weeks ago on Easter, it is the force that can drive us out in real mission, making an impact on the world as well. The main thing I want you guys to remember from today's message is very simple. I've made it a very short statement. God's people go. Can you repeat that with me? God's people go. Very simple. The Great Commission is what we've been looking at the last few weeks. We'll continue to look at until Pentecost. And we started a couple weeks ago talking about all authority in heaven on earth has been given to Jesus. That's verse 18. And then today we're just going to look at the first couple words of verse 19. Go, therefore. Go. And if we look, I just want to take a moment to look at the grammar of this sentence, because if we look at how verse 28 or verses 18 through 20 is structured, it begins with a fact. It begins with the fact of Jesus' authority. Jesus has overcome sin and death. He's overcome all of the things that could separate us from God, and that is the beginning of this Great Commission, that fact. Go is actually the assumption of this section. Okay, so we see go and it looks like a command, but really probably the better translation is when you go or as you go. Jesus is assuming that his followers are going to go. And then the actual command is make disciples of all nations. And we're going to look at that more next week. But today I want to look at that assumption. When you go, as you go, as God's people. Because what? God's people go. We're going to look at Jesus' call to go from three angles this morning. And we're going to start with a story of going. I think the Bible is a story about God's people going. And it begins back in Genesis 12 with Abraham. The story of Abraham that we read. And what when God comes to Abraham in Genesis 12, what is the first thing God says to him? Go. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. He commands Abram to go to a new land to experience new promises and new blessing. And Abram is blessed. Skip ahead in the story a little bit. As an illustration that this going is not always a voluntary thing, if you're familiar with the story of Joseph in Genesis 37, any of you remember how he gets from the promised land to Egypt? Can any of you tell me how Joseph gets from the promised land to Egypt? Yeah, his brothers are jealous of him. They sell him into slavery. And Joseph ends up in Egypt. What happens when Joseph goes to Egypt, albeit involuntarily? Great blessing comes to Egypt. There's a famine in the land, but because Joseph was there and because God showed him that there was going to be famine, the Egyptians were able to store up food for 7 years. And they were able to feed the whole region when this famine comes. So Joseph goes to Egypt, and blessing ensues. And that's just one example of the ways that blessing come in the Old Testament when God's people go. Now, God's people go down to Egypt. They come back into the Promised Land. They live there for a while. And then one of the parts of the Old Testament story is the story of exile. God's people, Israel, did not really obey him. They didn't live the life God called them to live. And so they're exiled. Babylon comes in and they're dispersed throughout the whole region. And this may not seem like blessing, but I want you to hold this thought. As the Israelites are sent into exile, what happens is they set up communities in places they never would have gone before. And the story of God's deliverance begins being told. People start to become familiar with Yahweh, the God of Israel. And hold on to that thought, because we're going to get back to how this exile, this going, this involuntary going, is actually a blessing. The middle of the story, the Old Testament, God's people go, the middle of the story is a story of God's going. Jesus is that story. When we celebrate on Christmas, what we celebrate in the incarnation of Jesus is that God came to be with us. The story, God's story is not one of telling us how we can come to Him. You know, kind of standing in heaven, throwing down some commandments and saying, do this so that you can get here. God's story is a story of coming to be with us. And it's one of the main differences, I think, particularly between Christianity and Islam, is that in Islam, it's God telling people how to live. Christianity is God coming to be with us, to live with us, to die for us, to be raised, so that we can be with God. Israel was called to go. Jesus went. And that is the example that Jesus expects his disciples to follow. That is the assumption for his command in Matthew 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Now, Luke's version of the Great Commission is in Acts chapter 1. And I want to look at that because it just plays a little bit out more out what Jesus meant by going. In Acts 1, verse 8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Again, a call to go. And I think this going is both geographical and cultural. And if we have a diagram up here, if you can see it, Jesus starts out by saying, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's kind of the heart of Judaism. That's home for most of his disciples. Okay, so he says, you're going to start right in the center of this culture, this place that you're familiar with, right where you are. That's like us saying, we're going to be God's witnesses in Toledo. But then he says, you'll be my witnesses in Judea, which Jerusalem is in Judea, so it's kind of a greater region. It's kind of like us being God's witnesses in the Midwest, kind of that area. Then he says, you will be my witnesses in Samaria, which was a neighboring culture. It was a different culture. There were hostilities between the people of Judea and the people of Samaria. And so this calling is a little more surprising and radical. He calls them to go out to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. There is no limit to where God's people are called to go to bring this message that Jesus has given us, to unknown cultures and places of any distance. That's where we're called to go. And the story of Acts in the New Testament is about how the disciples follow Jesus' call to go. Sometimes it happens through mission, like Paul and Barnabas. They go to all kinds of different places, even to Rome and maybe Spain from Jerusalem. It also happens by necessity. In Acts 8, the church begins to be persecuted in Jerusalem, and they're forced out. And what happens? They go into all of these different places where Jews were exiled, and that's where they begin. They begin all over this region. So this exile now has become a point of beginning for this mission that that Jesus' disciples have. They bring the story of the gospel all over the area. The Bible is a story of God's people going. What does that mean for us? Well, I want to talk a little bit now about a vision for our going. What does it mean for us to go and to follow Jesus' assumption that we go? And to do this, I want to kind of tell a little bit of a story of the American church. And these are some generalizations here, but maybe you'll be able to recognize some of them here or there. The church over the past 70 years has gone through a few different movements of how we understand our mission. The first movement I want to talk about is the receive and reproduce mentality. It's misprinted in your bulletin. It says replace and reproduce. That's not what I mean. Receive and reproduce mentality. Okay? Now, this mentality was really strong in the mid-1900s. And what it assumes is that communities are growing, that people are loyal to their denominations. And so when people move into a new place, if they were Presbyterian in this town, they move to a new place, they're going to look for the Presbyterian church. If they were UCC in this place, they move in, and they're looking for the UCC church. That's what it assumes. It assumes that people like to join organizations. And that was true in the mid-1900s. People joined Rotary clubs and Lions clubs, bowling leagues, all kinds of organizations. People love to join and join these social opportunities. It also assumes that kids are going to be born and grow up in that community and stick around in that community. And so, in the receive-reproduce mentality, churches just had to really have the build-it-and-they-will-come mentality. You build a church, the community grows, and people just naturally come in. We just have to receive them and assume that people are going to have babies. In this mentality, the responsibility for mission, there isn't much responsibility for mission. We just need to make sure all our slots are filled, our Sunday school teachers, and we have a pastor who cares for people. And that's how we grow as a community. It really attracted church people to us. Then the culture started to change, and the church began to change. And so the church had to say, okay, how are we going to start getting new people in if our communities aren't growing with the baby boomer generation and all of this? How are we going to grow as a church? And we kind of transitioned as the American church into the come see mentality. And in this mentality, the idea is that we need to attract people in. We need to find some way to entertain people or to have programs that fulfill people's needs or their desires. And people are going to come in, and then we can introduce them to Jesus. And in this mentality, the responsibility for mission is really with the pastor. You want to have a good, engaging pastor who can relate to people. And your worship team. You want to have a good worship team that can really, catch people once they're here and say, wow, that was great music, and hook people, and your program leaders. So you have programs that meet people's needs and desires, and you need to make sure they're in place so that people, when they come in, they can continue to have their needs and desires fulfilled. I think the come see mentality is a step in the right direction. Now, in the receive reproduce mentality, churches could grow without mission ever happening. The come see mentality is a step in the right direction. Okay, we need to make some movements. But, as Eddie Gibbs says, and the quote's in your bulletin and up here, he says, in this mentality, they have reversed the command of the Great Commission, replacing going into all the world with inviting all the world to come to us. You see the difference there? And so, as the culture continues to change, the church has, I think, gotten more and more in touch with the Great Commission, with this call to go, because it's a necessity. The culture has changed. We are in a society that's so much more fragmented. The church and the culture do not overlap nearly as much anymore. So people are not coming looking for churches when they move into a new place. There are all kinds of things they might look for, entertainment, social opportunities, what have you. They're not looking for the church. In fact, I think our society is a lot more like what Jesus' disciples had to deal with. People who didn't know who Jesus was. People who had never heard about the God of the Scriptures. People who weren't looking to the church for spiritual direction. That's the culture we live in. And so, again, Eddie Gibbs says that from a strategy of invitation, churches must move to one of infiltration, to being the subversive and transforming presence of Jesus. People are not looking for another source of entertainment. They can find that all over the place. They're not just looking for organizations to join. People are looking, if the church is going to have an impact, what people need to see is authenticity, people who have an authentic, deep faith that makes a difference in their lives. It's not just a tradition. It's not just something we do every week. It's something that truly makes a difference in people's lives. And they need to see how that relates to them and how that meets them in their place. And in this mentality, the go-seek mentality, the responsibility for mission is with every follower of Jesus. Every one of you has gifts. Every one of you has something you're interested in. You have passions. You have skills. And you have just natural appointments, people in your life who you might be called to minister to. That's how the early church grew, and that is what we need to be if we are truly going to follow the Great Commission to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations. Incidentally, I don't have it up here, but the pastor in the go-seek mentality is not as much the person who just kind of cares for or is just engaging a good preacher. The pastor in this model is someone who can equip people to follow their passions, to use their gifts, and to make a difference in the different fragments that they are a part of in their lives. Whether that's book clubs or PTA or with your kids. We talked last week about your kids and your kids' friends and your kids' friends' parents. My job is to equip you to be able to minister the gospel to whatever places God has called you in your life. That's how we are going to go as God's people in our culture. And this isn't about growing our church, primarily. That's inward focus. That's come see mentality. This is about taking the gospel into the world, into people's lives who need it. And when they realize that a community is the place to do that, that's when people come in. It's an indirect method, going before we assume that people are going to want to come. Individually, what does this mean? What does it mean to be a goer individually? Well, the first step, I think, is going to people who are already in your life. Your family, your friends, your coworkers, people you see on a daily basis. Now, you might say, okay, that's not going. That's where I already am. But I think there's a difference between coexisting with people and really going to them with the gospel. Trying to see how Jesus makes a difference in their lives. Going up the stairs to have a conversation with your spouse or your kids that's a significant one. Going out of your way to love and care for a coworker. That's what it means to go to people who are already in your lives, to take this spiritual initiative with them. Then we move into going to people beyond the people we normally interact with on a daily basis. People in your neighborhood. It is amazing how we live around all kinds of people that we may never see because our society is so fragmented. Okay? So they have their own social groups, their own things they do, their own coworkers. We may never interact with the person next door to us. So going means going to our neighbors. It means going to opportunities to serve people, big brother and sister programs, things like that. Tent City is a way that we could go into our city of Toledo. This youth SLAM is going on a mission trip. We just started in the Northwest Ohio Association of the UCC, a partnership with a church in El Salvador. We might have an opportunity to go to them and serve them and love them and learn from them. It means going to wherever God calls us, wherever God has given us passions and gifts and opportunities, and infiltrating the world with God's love. Okay, so infiltrating can be kind of a tough word. Okay, it sounds kind of military. What we're doing is we're infiltrating the world with God's love, telling Jesus' story, showing people the difference that Jesus has made in our lives, and helping them to have that for themselves. That's what it means, I think, to have a vision for going as a church and individually. Lastly, I want to suggest some reasons for going. First of all, we go as God's people because going is what Jesus did. We already talked about that. Jesus didn't just wait for us to come. We were never going to get there. He came to us. He opened the doors to have a relationship with God and to live in God's kingdom. We cannot follow Jesus without going and without seeking people. Second reason, because following Jesus matters. It matters eternally, it matters socially, it matters individually. Eternally, it matters. We have these ideas that no matter what we do in this life, all of a sudden God just sweeps us up and we all go to heaven. That's not the story of the Bible. And we don't have time to talk about heaven and hell today. But suffice it to say that the Bible suggests that there is continuity between this life and the next life. Who we worship, who we follow, how we live in this life matters. It affects eternity. And that is reason to go. It matters individually. Many of us don't go because we don't really see Jesus working, making a difference in our individual lives. We need to discover that. Jesus makes a difference in how we live. Jesus changes things. And if we believe that, we'll go and impact other people individually for the gospel. It matters socially. Christianity, religion, gets a lot of bad rap today. Bad Christians make good news. But historically, it's hard to deny the ways that Christianity and Christians who were committed to go and to love and to serve have impacted society. Education, hospitals, all kinds of ways that Christians have taken this call, gone into the world, and made a difference socially. Following Jesus matters on all of these levels, and those are reasons to go. Another reason to go is that making disciples, which is what we do when we go, brings joy. There is nothing more valuable we could do in our lives. There's nothing more valuable anyone else that we might interact with could do with their lives than to be a part of this plan that God has, to make disciples of all nations, to bring them into the joy of the gospel. Making disciples brings joy, and that is a reason to go. And finally, because joy is worth the messiness. It is easier to stay. It's easier to kind of be in the church and come up with lots of programs and have a controlled environment and invite people into the things that we've done. That is easy and it's clean. Going is messier. We don't always know what to expect when we go. We don't know how people are going to respond. We don't know the struggles that people are all having in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our communities. Going is messier, but it is worth the joy. Hebrews 12 said that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Because that joy was worth it. And that's what we have to believe if we're going to go. That being disciples, making disciples, is the greatest thing we could do with our lives. I hope what you're all seeing this morning is that the gospel is not just about being nice to the people who happen to be in our lives. It's not just about making right and wrong decisions when we're faced with them. The gospel, if we want to live it out, is about living out God's story, living out God's kingdom wherever we are. And decisions are part of that. And being nice to people is a part of that. But it is so much bigger of an opportunity for us to be a part of the gospel story. And the story is a story of going where people need grace and hope and purpose, of stepping into their lives, of being willing to shoulder the burdens that they have with them, and inviting them into the story of a God who loves them and who can make a difference in their lives. God's people go. Go is the assumption of the Great Commission. It is the necessity if we are going to be the church. Going is what it means to follow Jesus. And it is the beginning of the resurrection life that we've been called to live. Let's pray. Holy God, we pray that the resurrection that we've celebrated, that the love that we remember, that the grace that you've given us would be a force strong enough to move us out of our comfort zones, to move us into motion, to move us to go to whoever you have called us to and show them what you have done for us and show them the life you've called us to. Lord, help us to be a people that go to love and to serve and to bring hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.